The following is a recording from Manuel Perez of IR Strat on Friday, July 28, 2017, at 9 a.m. Central Time. This is the Gentera second quarter 2017 conference call.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's investor relations officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today is Mr. Fernando Álvarez, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Patricio Díaz de Bonilla, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer, as well as Mr. Carlos Danel, Gentera's Chairman of the Board, who will join us also in this call. They will review the results of Gentera for the second quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danel for his presentation. Carlos, please. Go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. As always, we appreciate the time and the interest on our conference call. Now, the second quarter of 2017 has proven to be a challenging quarter for Gentera. As you might recall, we ended 2016 implementing our control phase strategy for the portfolio as a result of increased NPLs in our group lending product. This strategy has started to yield the desired results by improving NPL, but it also has had the undesired effect of stalling the growth of our group lending portfolio. We did not anticipate this strategy to have such a significant effect on growth, but we strongly believe it is the right strategy to consolidate our group lending portfolio on a better footing to enable future growth. The overall result for Gentera has been a year-on-year growth of our consolidated portfolio of 4% for the second quarter of 2017, with better credit quality than the first quarter of 2017. This growth rate is below our guidance so far and will require us to modify our guidance for the year. However, we are still very confident that the demand for working capital loans as well as the need for financial inclusion is as strong as ever in all the markets that we serve. We have faced the same kind of portfolio dynamics in the past, and we are convinced growth rates will pick up once we move out of the control phase. We also have taken the opportunity to understand what improvements, if any, we can continue to introduce to our products and services to better serve our clients. We now have a significant number of initiatives addressing different opportunities, and we're confident they will produce better products and better service, which will strengthen Gentera's ability to grow in the future and continue in our purpose to eradicate financial exclusion. We expect the remainder of 2017 to remain in the control phase, as well as to roll out and introduce improvements to our offerings to enable strong, healthy growth in the future. It is also worth noting that the strategy we've been implementing in the recent past of moving from being a single-product, single-country company to multi-product, multi-country company has made us more resilient when facing these challenges. Growth in the portfolios of Guatemala and Peru year-over-year for the second quarter of 2017 were 19.4% and 19% respectively. Regarding other lines of products, Compartamos Banco reached over a million savings accounts for the second quarter of 2017, a 12-fold growth rate from a year ago, in a product that clearly is a preeminent financial inclusion product and that will help us build a long-term relationship with our clients. We still have much more to grow in savings, but the results so far are encouraging. This has also meant that less dependence in third-party channels and significant growth in our fee income, which in the future promises to be a much more relevant source of income, which will complement the income from lending, which in the past was our sole source of income. Net interest margin also posted positive trends enabled by better credit quality and financially, and finally, changes in the method for calculating our capital rate approved by the CNBB will help us build a stronger balance sheet in the years to come. We also continue to be very active in FinLab, our innovations lab and portfolio. The pilots and prototypes we're working on show significant promise and potential, and we continue to co-invest in startups that will enable financial inclusion for the future. One of such investments is the recent joint venture with Avante, a fintech company in Brazil providing working capital loans as well as payment services that show significant potential for Brazil and throughout the Americas. All these dynamics put together meant that the net income for the quarter saw a 12% contraction compared with the recurrent net income achieved in the second quarter of 2016. Profitability, however, remains above industry average and stood at 22.3% ROE for the first semester of 2017. Finally, the results so far made the guidance that was published at the end of 2016 unrealistic to be reached. As a consequence of this, we're revising our guidance to the following. Total loan portfolio growth for 2017 is now expected to grow between 1 and 3%. Earnings per share for 2017 are expected to be between 2.13 and 2.18. And with these guidance, our expected profitability for the full year will be an ROE around 21% and an ROA around 8%. As I mentioned before, we are confident in our ability to reach future goals and the future of Gentera. This has been and will remain a story of innovation and growth, challenge and transformation, with a clear purpose of reaching more customers through a multi-product, multi-country strategy. Financial inclusion is about offering a complete portfolio of financial services. And we are convinced Gentera will remain the company that will do that. This is all for my remarks for now. I will now turn the call over to Fernando Alvarez, who will review the performance of our different subsidiaries. Fernando, please go ahead.
Thank you, Carlos. And thanks to our audience for your interest in Gentera. Let's begin with some of the main business indicators of Compartamos during the second quarter of 2017. Loan portfolio for Compartamos operations in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala as a whole reached 31.4 billion pesos, which represented a 4% growth compared to the second quarter of 2016, composed by a minus 0.3% growth in Mexico, a 19% growth in Peru, a growth of 19.4% for Guatemala. Mexico's share of the total loan portfolio stood at 75%, down from 77% 1 year ago. NPLs for the total loan portfolio of Gentera are showing a very positive improvement, standing at 3.95%, down from 4.69% last quarter. Now let's break it down by product. Group loans for the three operations grew only 4.4% in the 12 previous months, from an equivalent in each local currency of 18.3 billion pesos to 19.1 billion pesos. This growth was distributed as follows: a 1.2% growth in Mexico, 68.4% growth in Peru, and 20% growth in Guatemala. NPLs in these three group loans operations posted ratios of 3.61% for Mexico, which is a significant improvement compared to 4.66% of the previous quarter, and is the result of the strong focus on quality of origination that we have had since the last quarter of last year. 1.69% non-performing loans for Peru, and 4.32% NPLs for Guatemala. Individual loans as a whole reached an equivalent in each local currency of 12.2 billion pesos, which represented a 3.3% growth compared to 11.8 billion pesos in the second quarter of 2016. If broken down by country, we had 5.9 billion pesos that is 5.1% decrease in Mexico, and 6.2 billion pesos, which equals a 12.3% growth in Peru. In terms of NPLs, we see 5.82% and 3.56% ratios respectively in Mexico and in Peru, which are levels of NPLs within the ranges guided and also are numbers that show improvements for both markets from the last quarter. Net interest margin after provisions for the quarter in each subsidiary stood as follows: 52.8% for Mexico, 19.0% for Peru, and 72.7% for Guatemala. All that totals a 43.5% net interest margin after provisions for all Gentera, up 280 basis points from 41.7% the last quarter. The operations performance in general was mixed. On one hand, we are seeing improvements in asset quality that are the result of all the measures that we have been taking recently. This should eventually translate into a lower requirement for provisions and a positive impact to our margins. However, certain changes in regulation will require us a slightly higher level of provisioning for the upcoming quarters that we should consider. On the other hand, this focus on quality has taken a larger than expected toll on loan growth. We are going to continue with the current focus on quality because in the long term it's better. And soon we will be able to increase again our growth rates, knowing that we will be standing on more solid ground. Now let's talk about other products. As of June 2017, we reached 1,053,298 savings accounts in Mexico. Savings and short-term deposits in Mexico coming from clients, from retail clients, in aggregate now have an outstanding balance of 1.93 billion pesos. The deposit solution is available now in 470 service offices, and it is covered by a network of 196 branches, and also 2,733 Yastas points. In addition, our proprietary branch and Yastas networks combined not only makes possible our savings operation, which is very important strategically speaking, but also provides a very important service to the credit operation, that is cash disbursements and cash collection of loan repayments. And with this, reducing the dependency on networks from third parties. In June 2017, our combined proprietary network executed more than 66.5% of all credit disbursements in Mexico and 43.2% of all loan repayments, where Yastas continues to be the main alternative chosen by our clients to repay loans with 26.5%. We now can say with confidence that Compartamos business and future no longer depends on third parties networks, and that reduces strategic risk very significantly. As a consequence, the advance in these developments has produced a significant decrease in our fee expense for transacting in third parties branches, from 98 million pesos in the second quarter of 2016 to only 62 million pesos in the second quarter of 2017, or a 36.7% decrease. We expect this trend to continue while we finish the rollout of our branch network that will total 282 branches for the end of this year. In terms of insurance, voluntary life insurance in Compartamos Mexico received 150 million pesos as fee income for the first quarter, for the second quarter of 2017. That is 92% higher than 78 million pesos that we received in the second quarter of 2016. This remarkable growth is the result of the rollout of our improved insurance product for our credit clients that has sustained very high levels of acceptance among our customers. We expect to continue growing in insurance at a high pace in our three operations. Now, in regards to remittances, in the second quarter of 2017, Compartamos executed 1.2 million transactions that resulted in 48 million pesos of fee income for the second quarter of 2017, or 6% more compared to the second quarter of 2016. Again, thank you for your interest on Gentera, and let me now turn the call over to Patricio Diez, who will review the group's financial figures.
Thank you, Fernando, and good morning to everyone. Interest income grew by 7.9% when compared to with the same period of 2016, driven by the 4% loan portfolio growth, and was propelled by the repricing in credit products that took place in the Mexican subsidiary. Interest income will accelerate in the second half of the year, benefited from the portfolio yield increase. In Mexico, the reference rate continued to its upward trend during the second quarter. From January 2016 to June 2017, the increase has been more than 100% in the rate at which we fund the business. Nevertheless, despite such increases, interest expense grew by 41.1% in the quarter. We were able to mitigate those increases in costs due to the growth of our savings products, which now fund over 15% of the portfolio at a low cost. The refinancing effort that started last year in Mexico using fixed instruments to hedge further rate increases. And in the Peruvian subsidiary, the cost of funds has improved constantly, now moving close to 6.6%. This thanks to better terms and conditions in the credit lines that Compartamos Financiera uses, and also due to the downward adjustments in the reference rates by the Central Bank of Peru. At Gentera level, the cost of funds for the quarter was 7.1%. Net interest income grew by 5.9% in the year, and NIM was 54%, representing an acceleration compared with the 51% in the first quarter of 2017, which leaves us in the right path to achieve similar level as the one reached in 2016. As we have signaled in different conference calls, as the portfolio mix changes, more provisions for loan losses are required due to the higher provisioning required by the new products. Provisions grew by 31.7% in the period compared with the second quarter of 2016. Thus, in net interest margin after provisions for the quarter stood at 43.5%, an improvement compared with the 41.7% reached in the first quarter of 2017. We expect to see further improvement in NIM after provisions as the result of the portfolio yielding at new rates matures. The cost of risk for the year is expected to be around 12.5% for the year. Net fee income increased 73% compared to the second quarter of 2016. As you can see, this line item grew much faster than portfolio due to the sale of insurance products, fees generated in Yastas, also in our remittance business, as well as in Peru's delinquent customers. The 37% fee expense contraction is due to the greater use of our proprietary network instead of third party. Fee income represents now close to 7% of total income for the group in second quarter of this year. Operating expenses grew by 14.8% in this second quarter in comparison with last year. Considering the first semester of 2017 versus the first semester of last year, OPEX line grew by 11.7%. This can be explained by the opening of new service offices and the transformation of service offices into bank branches in Mexico, as well as further investments in the IT landscape. Due to the control phase in which we operated during the first semester of 2017, potential interest income generation was impacted. Therefore, the efficiency ratio for the quarter deteriorated to 73.9%. The level of efficiency ratio in this quarter should improve to a figure below 70% and moving towards the mid-60s range that we have guided for next year. For the first semester of this 2017, Gentera reported a net income of 1.8 billion pesos, which represents a 7.2% contraction compared with the 1.9 billion pesos reached in the first semester of last year. It's important to mention that last year we had a non-recurrent benefit of 144 million pesos, which made larger the net income for the first half of last year. Excluding this non-recurrent benefit, net income for the first half of the year is flat with the first half of last year. In terms of profitability, return on equity, and return on average on assets, these ratios stood at 19 and 8% respectively for the second quarter of this year. Finally, in June, the CNBV approved Banco Compartamos' new methodology to calculate its capitalization index. This new methodology follows the alternative standard approach, EASA, instead of the basic approach, took the capitalization index to 35.1% compared to the 29% with the previous methodology. We have discussed in the past that our strong capitalization in Mexico is a reflection of the of our funding structure. As our deposits to loan ratio expands, we see possibilities to leverage more our balance sheet. The use of capital will be deployed firstly to support organic growth, secondly for M&A, and lastly to reimburse part of it to our shareholders. We're currently working in developing strategies to accelerate portfolio growth faster by organic and inorganic alternatives. That's it for my presentation. Thank you all once again. Could we please move to the Q&A session, please?
Yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Claudia Benavente from Santander.
Hi. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. The first one is, considering the change of capital methodology, we have estimated an excess of capital that I believe would be at around 2.4% in order to leave the capital unchanged. I was wondering what's in your pipeline for the use of this excess of capital. Is there any acquisition in your mind or an extraordinary dividend payment? And my second question is, have you already applied Avanti's know-how? What are you expecting from this investment? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Claudia. In terms of capital, as we talked during the call, the first two priorities for the use of that capital is either organic growth or acquisition. As we discussed in the past, going forward, we expect that organic growth will be complemented by some acquisition in the low-income financial inclusion sector. We've been working actively in so many analyses, and some of them might materialize in the short to medium term. If for whatever reason the organic growth or the M&A pipeline dries up, which we do not see now, a possibility of increase the payout for next year it's possible. However, again, the focus today is organic and inorganic use of that excess in capital.
And Claudia, can you repeat your second question, please?
Okay.
Our investment in Brazil. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
Maybe following up on that same question, have you considered maybe an acquisition or organic growth in Peru or Mexico?
Yeah, the rationale first, it's to complement the product offering that we have in Peru, in Mexico, to have a stronger footprint in both countries. So that's something that we are working on as we speak. However, and we've been very vocal about it, there are some geographies within the Americas that are attractive because of the demographics or the dynamics of the low-income segment. So today, again, it's simply to leave in your mind that we've been working very actively in this front for last, I would say, at least the last 24 months. But as you know, this how this process works. I mean, they might take some time, but again, something might happen in the short to medium term.
Thank you. Any follow up?
Yeah, thank you. My second question was about Avanci. What were you looking for with that investment? Or if you have already applied any of the know-how from Avanci. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. This is Fernando. Well, as Carlos already talked about that investment, Avanci is a small company, but very innovative company in the north that operates in the northeast of Brazil. They have a very interesting business model that it's to serve low-income micro-entrepreneurs in that area of Brazil. But the technology and the business model that they use is a very interesting one, and that's why FinLab decided to have a minority investment there. So our purpose there is, I mean, not only invest, but also to learn and see what things from not only Avanci, but other developments within FinLab we can bring to companies within Gentera, no? For now, it's still too early of that. We are not already implementing anything coming from Avanci, but that's the main purpose, not only of our Avanci investment, but basically that's the purpose of the whole FinLab initiative.
Great, thanks so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Carlos, Fernando, and Patricio, and thanks for taking my call. My first question is more related to the strategy. At the end of 2016, we were concerned with the asset quality trends, implying higher NPLs and cost of risk. Now, after this second half, we saw better asset quality trends, but coming with a high cost for loan growth. So I believe for the second half, you are willing to accelerate the loan portfolio growth, but I would like to see if you can share with us what will be the difference from what we saw at the end of 2016. For my second question is related to all this revolution in terms of fintechs. I'm aware that you have this new minority stake in Avanci, and I'm aware of the advances of Gentera with FinLab and other strategic initiatives. But what do you think about these new trends for the microfinance segment? I've seen that large banks are willing to compete with better technology, improving cost and expenses, and likely offering lower interest rates. So I would like to know your view on how is Gentera preparing, and when do you see new competition and these new trends becoming relevant? Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. Well, your first question was regarding, the constant dilemma between NPLs and loan growth, right?
Right.
Basically, all the measures that we have been taking for the last months already, we are very positive of the trends that we are now seeing, you know, and the quality of assets that we are now experiencing in our portfolio. They have been very, very difficult to achieve this, and we don't want to lose it very easily. So The fact that we are re-estimating our own guidance and to now pursue a much more conservative guidance implies the answer to your question. It's basically because we don't want to encourage growth that will not be sustainable for the long term. We don't want to encourage growth by taking measures that could damage the quality of our portfolio in the medium term. So that's why I think you shouldn't expect that future growth will be followed by, again, accelerated deterioration of our asset quality. So that's not what we are pursuing, or that's not something that we are expecting. I think you shouldn't expect that as well. Let's see also what the external aspects are going to influence on our NPLs, but regarding all the internal strategies, we want to achieve a level of asset quality that we are able to sustain on the long to medium to long term.
And in terms of your second question, Ernesto, this is Patricio. As you might be aware, no, the fintech world is very large, it's very dynamic. We see with a lot of enthusiasm what's going on elsewhere, and also in Mexico about this landscape. As you know, within that fintech world, we focus or we try to identify those companies or entrepreneurs that focus themselves in financial inclusion. Again, the hubs of fintech are not only based in Mexico, Brazil, Silicon Valley, London, Israel. There are many things that are going on elsewhere. And as you know, we launched last year FinLab in an effort to have a clear focus on what's going on in that scenario and try to bring those initiatives to the Mexican reality or to the Peruvian reality. So our efforts, again, in Avante and what we did in Money and so many investors that we might have in the fintech portfolio are related to our recognition that fintech will be relevant to disrupt how we serve customers at a lower cost. And we really think that those companies that invest in those initiatives will have a competitive advantage with the rest of the players and be able to offer the financial products and services at a much better terms and conditions. So again, we think that in Mexico we are at the forefront of those efforts within the financial inclusion landscape. And again, it's not something exclusively to Compartamos. Most of the banking industry are trying to develop those initiatives to serve better their customers. So it's something that it's starting. It's something that we are currently working on, and Avanchi is one of those investments. But you should expect more investments going forward that will allow us to see whether those technologies can be implemented to our own business operation.
Much appreciated, Fernando and Patricio. Can you repeat your new loan growth and earnings per share guidance, please?
Yes, it's 1-3% loan growth and 2.13-2.18 the EPS.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Frederic DeMarza from UBS.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call, for the opportunity. A couple of questions. The first one on cost of risk, which was relatively high in the quarter. How do you think about it going forward? And you mentioned a little bit about this dilemma between quality and growth, but how would you think of cost of risk for the full year and also importantly for next year once you're done adjusting all the portfolio originated last year in 2016. So when you look at 2018, which should be a clean year, what kind of cost of risk would you envision? Then my second question, on a more positive front, you mentioned that the fee income represented 7% of revenues. where do you think, and you mentioned, gave a lot of details about FinTech and the multi-product strategy which you have been developing in the past few years. Where do you think these could go in the next few years? How much do you think they could represent of total revenues? Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Regarding cost of risk, you are right that despite that our NPLs have been improving this last month, we are seeing this last quarter cost of risk is higher than the previous quarter. The reason for that is basically because the amount of loans that we are writing off this month are the highest amounts in our history. No? All these loans that we are writing off this current month are loans that have 180 days of arrears, and that write-offs are included in the provision line item in the income statement. So that's why our cost of risk is improving in the short term. We expect this proportion or this cost of provisions to total loans or cost of risk to decrease while our write-offs are turning a much more moderate amount, which should happen towards the end of this year. And for the long term, you should expect a range between 12 to 13 or probably even lower of cost of risk for the next years. But in terms of fee income, you're pointing out one of the most interesting elements that we have been seeing in our performance for the last years. We have been implementing several strategies to benefit this line item. One is what we have discussed about having proprietary channels, no, such as branches or just as, no, that have had a very significant saving of money, of payment, of the fees that we pay to other banks or other channels. No? That has have a very important impact on that line item. But not only that, no? If you look at what's going on in insurance, fee income from insurance in Mexico improved more than 90% this second quarter compared to the second quarter of last year. Now that we have savings accounts, we can develop products that could involve have some kind of fee involved that will benefit this line item in the medium term as well. So we expect this line item to increase its share on our margins. So if now we are running around an 8%, we definitely want that to go above 10% in the medium term.
That's great. Very clear, Fernando. Thank you. And if I may follow up on a previous question on the capital position, you mentioned some focus on organic but also M&A. How do you think of your capital ratio in the long term on a sustainable basis? Do you think it could come down closer to 25%, 30%? What would be a good level for you in the future?
Okay. We've always discussed that the large equity that we have is because we fund the business with wholesale funding. One of the most important features, if you analyze the report, is that our saving capabilities are growing very fast. Now we tenfold the size of the saving product. Now it's funding close to 15% of our portfolio. So as the portfolio it's being funded by savings, yes, we really see a capitalization of around 25% in the coming, I mean, at least in the following 1 to 2 years, right? So the thing will be how fast can we deploy savings, how we're doing with this product, and as we feel comfortable with the deposits to loan ratio, there's an opportunity to bring the capitalization down to around 25% or so.
That's great. Thank you, Patricio.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Machado from Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. So I just had a couple of questions related to loan growth. I know you talked about being more conservative in the sense of matching the risks with the rewards. What does that mean in terms of not this year, but you know, going out? Is there? Do you think there's room for growth to go into mid-teens, high teens again? And if you could just split out that explanation between Mexico and Peru. Obviously, there's a lot more. The market in Peru, there's a lot more opportunity and potential there in the market in Mexico, given the amount of time you've been in each one. And on top of that, we did see a slight acceleration in growth if you look at the monthly data in Mexico. So, I just wanted to understand if you're already starting to be a little bit more aggressive with your origination, or if that was just a blip based on the base effect or something else. Thanks.
Thanks, Carlos. Yes, well, long term, what we expect in the long term in terms of loan growth, if we talk specifically about group loans, it has to do with, I would say, significantly about that in this call. We are focusing on quality. We expect to bring higher growth soon, but without losing this focus on asset quality. The way we should see loan growth in group loans for the long term has definitely have to consider the second element, that is the operations in other countries. This is Peru, Guatemala, and potentially other countries, no, where this product could find a market that could be benefit by a solution as group loans. No? So if you consider all our operations, we definitely expect group loans to grow, to have a double-digit growth in the long term, but considering all the countries. If we go back to Mexico, definitely in order to achieve double-digit growth in group loans, we definitely would have to have a transformation of the product in order to be able to achieve lower average tickets clients, so we need to transform that solution in order to be able to operate at a more efficient level. No? We are doing that. We are in the middle of trying to develop better solutions. Of course, a lot of new ideas and elements are being brought to the table from FinLab, no? That will allow us to potentially achieve that, but for now, with our current solution and with what we know now, group loans growth in Mexico should be expected to be a single-digit growth for the medium term. And you are right. If we go to the very very short term and the monthly performance that we have been showing, it's right that the last month we went back to growth. In the month of May, in the month of June, and we expect some growth as well in July. No, I wouldn't say that we are being more aggressive. What I am saying is that now our potential to originate loans is higher than what we have been writing off, which, as I said 1 minute ago, is we are writing off a very high amount of loans compared to other periods, no? So we expect that we will show growth for the rest of the year, but I wouldn't put it as aggressive, right? We are not switching our origination policies or anything like that.
Okay, thanks. So just following up, you said that probably single digits for group loans in Peru going forward, in Mexico going forward. Individual probably a little bit stronger given that you've been working in that market a little bit less. Could you talk a little about Peru? I mean, how quickly, do you expect to tap into the potential of the market there?
Well, yeah. Well, we have been growing very, very strongly in Peru in terms of group loans. We are also being able to grow at a very healthy pace in individual loans as well, even though that market is a very penetrated market and a very mature market in individual loans. We have been able to grow at the same time that we have been able to increase our asset quality. You know? So actually, the performance of portfolio in Peru is very good in our opinion. But regarding group loans, growth is even more interesting. It's still a small share of the portfolio, but it's growing at a significant pace. The problem that we are facing is that the demand is there. There's a lot of demand for this type of loans, but we need to hire people, train people, even bring people from other markets to Peru to fill leadership positions in order to achieve a healthy operation. And basically, that's our main concern in Peru, if we're going to be able to hire the right people and train them with the speed that the market needs. No? So we have to be careful of quality. We're growing very significantly, but we have to pay attention to asset quality and to in order to sustain this growth rates in Peru. We are very comfortable of what's going on in group loans in Peru.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Diego Ciccone from Scotiabank.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. On the deposit side, it has been growing strongly as planned. I just wanted to get a sense of what's the target of level of deposits to total funding that you expect to achieve this year? And looking more at long term, how much do you expect to save in funding costs by increasing the share of deposits?
Okay, thank you, Diego. And deposits, I mean, as you see, it's growing very fast. If you analyze the figures of the Mexican operation, we have over 1 billion pesos now in savings from our customers. We expect in the following month to reach close to 2 billion pesos in funding coming from our own customers. So we do see, and as you said, this because of the different products that we have, the cost of this funding source is well below our cost of funds for the wholesale funding. No, an improvement of around 500 basis points difference. So as the deposits to loan continue to grow, today we are at 15%. We expect to have close to 20% and 20 to 25% next year. And going forward, again, there's an opportunity to save, to capture savings from this segment. There are many players in this low-income segment that have been very successful in achieving a large deposit base. So we are, again, focused firstly in our own credit customers. Secondly, we'll open up saving accounts to non-credit customers. And the combination of both make us think that a piece of our portfolio, 30 to 50% of the portfolio, can be funded with deposits in the medium term. Having said that, it's not only the reducing cost of funds that we are aiming, but also, as Fred asked or before, the possibility of higher leverage in our portfolio because the less dependence on the wholesale market to fund the business. So it's on the financial aspect of it, it's beneficial not only on the cost of funds, but also on the more efficient balance sheet that we can achieve, and also will allow us to have a solid return on equity for the coming years.
That's great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first one is going to be regarding the net interest margin, which I think is the brightest spot of the quarter. So just getting your thoughts on the evolution and what we can expect going forward. It seems that the funding cost maybe have stabilized, at least from the perspective of interest rates. They are not going higher. And I assume that there is a delay in the repricing of all the loan book, given all the increases that you've been doing in the pricing. So how long is that delay, and for how many quarters do you think you can capture this benefit? And thinking longer term, what level of NIM do you think you can sustain? Would we be able to go back to the high levels of, 2015, something like that? Just getting your thoughts on that topic, and I'll ask my second question after. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Well, net interest margin after provisions, of course, there are several elements that plays there. It's loan growth, it's yield, it's cost of funds, it's leverage, it's also delinquency provisioning. Also, several elements are playing there, and each one has a different dynamic. Now, as you know, we have increased our yields in Mexico recently. Also, the yields of the group loans in Guatemala and in Peru are higher than the yields that we have in Mexico for group loans. So that should should benefit our NIM in the medium term. In terms of cost of funds, recently we have had a hit in terms of NIM because the increase in the interest rates that with all the market has experienced coming from the cost of money of wholesale money. But the more deposits we take, the more we increase our deposits to loan ratio. That is coming at lower costs already. That will offset that element. In terms of NPLs, we are improving our NPLs in Mexico. NPLs in Peru, for example, in individual loans are also improving. So that's going to play in our favor in terms of NIMs. But recently, we are facing changes on regulation of provisioning for group loans in Mexico, so that will play against. But with all that said, I think that if we consider that the share of the total portfolio that other countries will take in Gentera, such as Guatemala and Peru and potentially other countries, that could bring a higher NIM, we expect our NIM to continue its uptrend. It's difficult to say at what level because there are several elements playing there. But definitely for the long term, and if we are successful at growing group loans in other countries, I think above 50%, but it's difficult to say when, but it's something that is potentially doable.
Okay, that 50% is adjusted after credit risk, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. And my second question is regarding your outlook for the economy in Mexico and how does that play with loan growth? I mean, in the past it used to be that Compartamos loan growth was less correlated with the economy. Is this still the case? And the recovery, the pickup in loan growth in Compartamos depends more on the transformation of your product rather than the economy? Or you have become more correlated to the economy over the years, and of course, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the economy for the remainder of the year and the next one. Thank you.
Okay, in terms of the economy, we still think that our customers are less sensitive to the macro movements than other asset classes. Again, our working capital loans are focused on micro entrepreneurs that have a very basic micro enterprise. They are highly flexible, so this is why they are less dependent on how the macro is doing to do their businesses. No, again, they sell kind of staples for their living, and this is why the demand for such products is relatively stable regardless of the economic cycle. And that's pretty much the case, and we think it will continue to be the case for the following years. However, in downturns, of course, there's some pressure in the payment capacity of certain products or certain customers. And that puts pressure in the asset quality of the portfolio. Again, it's not something that it's nationwide or something like that. But of course, in downturns, they're not necessarily good news for some micro entrepreneurs. What we expect this year in terms of growth, again, it's around 2% in Mexico. Something similar can be achieved for next year. And again, the growth of the portfolio is more dependent on us transforming the products, of us developing new products that serve the needs of the customers, rather than something that is dependent on the behavior of the economy. Again, if you analyze the private loan to GDP ratio in Mexico, in Peru, in Guatemala, it's still well below OECD standards, and we do think that there's an opportunity to develop new products, to put them on the street and make them financially viable for Gentera. So it's more a pitch on us executing those transformation or new products rather than something that is dependent on how the economy evolves.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Eduardo Rossman from BTG. Mr. Rossman, your line is open. Hearing no response, we'll go to the next. It's Carlos Gomez from HSBC.
And hi, good morning. Two questions. First, going back to capital and the fact that you have now a higher capital ratio as a result of the acceptance of models. How do you look at your capital? Because one thing is what you need, according to the regulator, the other thing is what you think that you need. What indicators are you looking at? Are you looking at regulatory capital? Are you looking at equity to assets, equity to loans? How do you define your capital? And how low could you go?
I mean, let me go back again to that answer. We focus on the Tier 1 capitalization ratio that is approved by the CNBV, that every bank complies according to the Basel III requirements. And per regulation, we can go as low as 10%. We are today at 35%, again, because we first require of the wholesale funding to fund this business. But again, as I mentioned before, as the deposits to loan ratio continue to evolve and take a larger toll on our balance sheet, of course, we can bring that 35% to even 25% or less than that in the medium term. So again, the use of that excess capital will be used basically in the following months for acquisition purposes of not only fintech but some other companies that might be or might complement the portfolio of products that Compartamos Gentera have for financial inclusion. So again, we look at Tier 1, we look at capitalization by the banking standards, and we recognize that we have an excess capital well above our own requirements, and we might go down to something around 25% in the following months if an acquisition materializes in the short to medium term.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Yuri Fernandez from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, all. Thanks for the opportunity here. I have just a follow-up on the loan growth, on your new 1-3% growth in here. I understood the newer generations are kind of accelerating more than they're written off, but I don't understand why this level. Like, you are growing at 4%, and I understand, like, the effects are probably going to help you in the end of this year, like on the 4Q16, like the Mexican peso was much higher, so your foreign portfolios were much, let's say, were kind of suffering. So what does imply this 1-3% growth? I understood your strategy, but if you can comment a bit more like on this level of growth, I would appreciate. And after I do my second question.
Thank you. Well, current loan growth of 4% has to do with the performance of the three countries, as you pointed out, also with the performance of the peso, no? Because our subsidiaries that are based on other currencies now have an impact on growth. So that's our 4%. So you're right. No, it seems that if we are going back to growth, we could sustain this 4% growth, but you should consider that we are still expecting some high write-off months in the very short term. No? And that, that amount is, if we want to grow, we have to bring new customers and retain the current ones with higher amounts if they are able to repay it. We have to do that in an amount that is higher than the loans that we are writing off. So we want to be very conservative on what we want to guide to the market. There's, as you are pointing out, a scenario where we can grow above that or on the upper range of that. But for now, we want to guide that to the market, this 1-3% growth.
Okay, super clear. This was what I was thinking, like the facts would be the reason why.
I would like to add one element. This 3% growth implies a 9.8% growth from June to December, which is a significant growth if you compare it with what we have been growing on the first semester, right? So, again, that's something that we should consider.
Okay, no, super clear. Just on cost of risk, I didn't understand like the 12 to 13% you were commenting, like your new NPLs are declining, seems like you are kind of in an inflection point on the asset quality. I understand you have like new CNBV regulations that will require higher provisioning, but are you still running at those 12 to 13% level in the coming quarters, or did I understand something wrong on your previous speech on cost of risk?
No, again, yes, as Fernando pointed out, the reality is that, yes, we have better control of the asset quality. In similar conditions, cost of risk could be lower. You need to take into consideration that as of June, the new regulation requires around 20% more provisioning for certain products, and that put pressure on the provisioning level for the year end. And this is why, again, we are guiding 12.5%, but if the control phase become much better than we expected, there's a possibility of bringing that number down. But again, we are today thinking of that as an adequate cost of risk for the portfolio that we have, and has to do not only with the asset quality, but also with the change in regulations that will affect the portfolio from July onwards.
Okay. No, thank you. Very clear.
Thank you, Yuri.
Thank you. Once again, we will hold for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I am showing no further questions in the queue. I would now like to turn the call back over to management for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Well, again, thank you very much for your interest in Gentera. We hope to hear from you in 3 months.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.